I should like to go on speaking about the carnal Christian, the third of this fourfold division of man. How often we have all been reminded of the exhortation of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2:2, that we should desire the pure milk of the Word. But how seldom have these words been emphasized in their relation to the rest of the verse? Now let me read the whole verse to you. It begins, "As newborn babes," and then goes on, "Desire the pure milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." Now, the beginning and the end of that verse is just as important as the body of it is. How often have preachers of the gospel used as their motto the words of Paul to the Corinthians, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." 1 Corinthians 2:2. Christ crucified, they think, is the very acme of Christian truth, when in fact it is but the very beginning, the foundation. For the apostle goes on to write in this same passage, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are full grown." That's the sixth verse. How many there are, even among those who have known Christ for years, who boast about believing the Bible but show little or no desire to understand it? Rather than study to attain to a better understanding of the Word of God and become such as know how to wield the sword of the Spirit, they boast that they've gotten no farther than the simple things. I'm sure you've heard men say that. I have heard great popular preachers say, "I love the simple things." To them, the Bible is actually little more than a fetish, a mystical book containing many wonderful and comforting portions. They give the curses and the difficult passage but passing glances, and choose for their meditation and discussion only those portions that warm their hearts. Now, the Bible itself calls such people carnal or fleshly Christians. They possess the Spirit, to be sure, but they walk after the flesh with little interest in learning what the Spirit has written down in the Word and what the Spirit would have them know. They've been born of God, yes, but they haven't grown. They're not actually babes, for they've been saved long enough to have grown to spiritual maturity. But having failed to grow, they must be dealt with as babes. Now, it was among such that the apostle determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The natural man, of course, can't take even that. He can't digest it. The carnal Christian, like the babe in Christ, can take the fact that Christ died for him, but he can't digest anything more. Now, to such the apostle wrote by inspiration, I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2. Here the apostle says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with solid food, for hitherto ye were not able to digest it, neither yet now are ye able." Now, there's a similar passage in the Epistle to the Hebrews, the 12th and 13th verses, where he says about these who had been saved for a considerable period of time. I'm quoting, "For when for the time," that is, for the length of time you've been saved, "you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again what are the first principles of the oracles," or the Word of God, "and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Now, let me say a word about retarded growth. What joy and fellowship there is in gatherings where the newly saved are present. In the spiritual realm, as well as in the physical, everybody loves a baby. And if you'll go to a real spiritual church, and you'll find some newly saved Christians, some born-again Christians that have just recently come to know Christ, you'll find a lot of joy. But the joy that fills the hearts of loving parents is turned to bitter sorrow and disappointment if that babe fails to grow. The latter condition is as unspeakably sad and embarrassing as the former is joyous. Ah, that little babe, when it's supposed to be a babe, what a wonderful thing of joy. Ah, but if years pass and it remains a babe, what sorrow, what disappointment, what embarrassment. Now, just so, beloved, it is in the spiritual realm. The carnal or the fleshly Christian has simply failed to grow. He continues in a state of protracted infancy. He must be kept exclusively on a diet of milk. Though saved for years, he's still unable to bear to keep on his stomach solid food. He's still unskillful in the word, and he needs to be taught the elementary things. Now, there are specific evidences of retarded growth beside those that I've just mentioned. Retarded spiritual growth is evidenced in many ways, all of which come under the heading of carnality or fleshliness. The Corinthians, so sternly rebuked for their carnality by the Apostle Paul, are said in the Corinthian epistles, the two epistles, to have been, first, careless about their morals. Second, they were puffed up. They were inconsiderate of each other. They were stingy when it came to the Lord's work. So while possessing the Spirit, they walked after the flesh. Now, in Galatians 5, the apostle says this about fleshliness. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, that is, they're evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now I must pause to make plain here that this obviously does not mean that saved people who indulge in some of these things are therefore therefore lost. For God, remember, counts us as in Christ and perfect in Christ. After a similar list written to the Corinthians, the apostle says to them, these same failing Corinthian believers, "And such were some of you, but you've been washed in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Now, this is just why we Christians should desire with all our hearts to please and honor Him. But now to go on in Galatians 5, verses 19 to 23. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, that's just the opposite. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. One of the most marked indications, beloved, of retarded spiritual growth is self-interest and petty strife, as we find it in the case of the Corinthian believers. They were spiritually small. They were petty. So the apostle had to write to them, "For ye are yet carnal. For where As there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, are ye not fleshly, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? It was as though Paul and Apollos were rivals when Paul said, oh no, I have planted, Apollos has watered, we're both simply the servants of God. Now, it's not without significance that Peter's exhortation to newborn babes to desire the pure milk of the word that they may grow thereby is prefaced by these words. Now, I'm going to quote from the preceding verse in 1 Peter 2, the first verse. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, in the same way, Paul writes in the Ephesian letter, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Do you see where self-interest and self-indulgence goes? It's out. I beseech, he says, that you walk worthy of your high calling, with lowliness, with meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For, he goes on to say, there is one body, just one. There is one faith. There is one baptism. We do well to give heed to these admonitions today, beloved, with the professing church divided into hundreds of denominations. Do you know that in the state of Pennsylvania alone, there are more than 200 denominations all claiming to be founded on the Word of God? Do you know that in the United States, the professing church is divided into more than 400 denominations? I tell you, beloved, that is not according to the Word of God, and it's not what God desires. He says, I beseech you, beloved brethren, that there be no divisions among you, and that you all speak the same thing. And he says, mark those that cause divisions. God would not have his church to be divided. There is one body. And yet that unity, of course, is not affected by compromise or by giving up our beliefs. It's affected only by growing up and acknowledging what God actually says, recognizing the unity that the Spirit has made and acknowledging that there actually is one body. Now, to think in terms of my church or our church, rather than in terms of the church, to consider only self and party, is a sign of spiritual immaturity. It's childish, it's petty, and sincere believers should grow up from such an attitude. Paul has much to say about that, my dear friends. Let's not continue to call ourselves Catholics and Protestants and Methodists and Presbyterians and Baptists. God doesn't look down from heaven and say, this is a Catholic and that's a Protestant, or this is a Presbyterian and that's a Baptist. He looks down at us as human beings and he says, there they are, all sinners in themselves. What have they done with my son who I gave to die for their sins? Now, it's in connection with this that the apostle writes to the Corinthians, are ye not carnal and walk as men, that is, as other men in their natural unsaved state? Now, this aptly sums up the condition of the carnal Christian. He's saved, but he walks in many respects as the unsaved about him. Put him among a group of unsaved people, and it will be difficult to tell the difference. Fortunately, we're told in 2 Timothy 2, the 19th verse, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. But this passage goes on to say, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Thank God the simplest of believers are no longer the children of wrath, even as others, but believers who walk even as others, will surely suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, just a word about the cause of retarded growth. Now, in the physical realm, retarded growth may be due to some mishap, or may be simply one of the results of the curse, having no direct bearing on the behavior of the parents, and certainly not on the behavior of the child itself. It's just something that was in that child that retarded its growth. But in the spiritual realm, that's not so. God has made abundant provision for every child of God to grow to spiritual manhood. And Paul rebukes the Corinthian believers for not having grown. The trouble with the Corinthians was that they didn't have much appetite for the word. They didn't have a passion to know and to obey the truth. For the babe in Christ who desires the pure milk of the word will most assuredly grow thereby. Now, this was the trouble with the Hebrew believers that he wrote to also. For when the apostle would have gone further into the great subject of Christ as the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek, he was forced to say to them, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be understood, seeing ye are dull, rather slothful of hearing." You're not interested in listening. And this is precisely the cause of the carnality among believers today. During World War II, there were several times when parents came to me with letters from their sons in the armed forces explaining that some code had been arranged by which Johnny could let them know to which theater of war he had been sent. But they'd say, "Now it's a little difficult to decipher the thing." And together we'd sit down and we'd study the letter in detail in an effort to make out exactly what it was that Johnny was trying to make his parents understand. Now, that was great interest and concern over a letter that Johnny had written home. And appropriately so. But do the majority of believers show such interest in the Word of God to them? Are they as deeply concerned to understand its contents as they would be over a letter from Johnny? They are not. They're satisfied with the simple things, with knowing only a few passages which warm their hearts. This is what is back, beloved. This is what is back of the spiritual carnality and immaturity among believers. Ah, Paul says in the letter to the Hebrews, "Oh, if the word spoken to angels was steadfast, then every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, then remember, God has spoken." Ah, we ought to be all ears for what God has to say to us, my beloved Christian friends. And that's why I say believers are responsible to grow. Let's put it down. Let's never forget it. God is going to hold us responsible to grow to spiritual maturity through sincere and diligent study of the Word. You can't get away with, perusing a little of the Scriptures now and then with maybe a quick daily Bible reading and listen to a little Bible in church. You're not going to get away with it when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, my friends. For then, each one of us is going to be given rewards or we're going to suffer loss according to whether we have grown and accomplished things for Him. So I repeat, let's put it down. Let's never forget it. God will hold us responsible to grow to spiritual maturity through sincere and diligent study of the Word. To the newly saved, He says, "Desire the pure milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." And in 2 Peter 3:18, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And to those who have been saved for some time, He says, "You ought to be teachers." Hebrews 5:12. And to all, He says, "For everyone that useth milk," that is, exclusively everyone that has to take only milk, "is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is a babe. But solid food is for them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, I'm going to go on now with Hebrews 5:13 and 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles or the fundamental, the basic things of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto maturity. And he, Ephesians 4:14 and 15, that ye henceforth be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but holding the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. I say, my Christian friend, long for the Word, study the Word, give yourself to it, that you might grow and become mature, settled, balanced Christians, efficient and effective in his work.